Welcome to the CEN Show, a platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rasaki Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we have Ernest McBride Jr., Dr. Professor Amin Ra, Brother Mashinda, and Brother Ahi. Our guest for this evening is one of our team members, Brother Thomas Muhammad, and he's been with us almost the whole time, and he makes great contributions with excellent topics and things for us to discuss. So I'm not going to hold him up. I'm going to go straight to him, and he's going to tell you about topic and anything else he want to tell you. Thanks for coming, Brother Tommy. It's all on you, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Praise be to Allah. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful, I bear witness that there's no God but Allah, who appeared in the person of Master Prophet Muhammad. I bear witness the most honorable Elijah Muhammad is the messenger. And I bear witness the honorable Louis Farrakhan's divine reminder. And I greet my beloved brothers in the greeting words of peace. Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
The title of this beautiful presentation that's been on my mind for a while is it pertains to our women. And the topic is divine femininity, her superpower, and toxic masculinity, her kryptonite. I noticed that a lot of today, a lot of our modern sisters have allowed the history and the legacy of slavery, of welfare, and of the whole process of American government to remove the black man or the man out of the home to impact her her lack of understanding her responsibilities of a woman to herself, her community, her man, and her family. This has been an epidemic to me that has manifested itself in many different ways. The one that stands out to me most is the competitive spirit that the modern woman has against the black man as it pertains to her being given the ability to take care of herself, to work in the workforce, to bring in an income that is competitive to that of her man, and the being fed the ideology that she no longer needs a man. Her lack of loyalty to not only her man but her community. She has disassociated herself from her community obligation. And what I mean by that is every man and woman has a community obligation to unify with one another in a traditional relationship and to build a family that births and brings forth offspring that are stronger, greater, quicker, faster, smarter than the parents that produced them, put the children or offspring on the path of trajectory of evolution, and also become community builders, peacemakers, business builders. And that has been the issue is our women. I don't take responsibility from our men at all. I don't. I believe that we men have failed our communities as well. Whenever I see a youth out on the streets jobless, without being guided by the men for employment, the youth, the teenage males are supposed to seek their employment by being hired by the men business owners in the community or the skilled laborers in the community that maintain the infrastructure of our community. We're supposed to hire our youth at 16 when they're no longer, when they're low, you know, when they've fallen beyond the allowances of their household is no longer a good enough amount of money to put in their pocket. We're supposed to hire them. We're supposed to be the first option for them to go to when they want to get a teen work experience. We're supposed to secure our communities. We're supposed to provide jobs for our teens. We're supposed to provide resources for our communities. That I'm not taking away responsibility for us as men. But when we have our women, you know, feeling as if they no longer need us because this Caucasian has offered them a paycheck and an ability to bring a resource into the home, and the one that they, the man that they submit to, is the Caucasian boss that they're running errands from and they're obeying at the job. And then they, when they come home, they don't show that respect and that obedience and that compliance and that agreeability and submissiveness to us. That is the root destruction of not only our relationship with her, but the household as well. The children see the vitriol and the rebelliousness and aggressiveness within the woman, and they think that that is either the way that women are supposed to act, or it causes a gap between the relationship, the positive relationships that children are supposed to be able to portray when they become adult and relationship age. So I believe our the aggressions within our women is causing our families to be to get the wrong messages and the wrong signals of how women should act and how the relation and how they should respond to their men in obedience and submissiveness and agreeability, compliance, cooperative, helping us meet our obligations and our objectives, courteous, assertive, yet feminine in their stature and their and feminine being their strength. Like I liken my example to that of like this fictional figure called the Incredible Hulk. It's a comic book character, but when he gets angry, he turns green. This David Banner turns green, and he turns into this powerful, big, muscular man that cannot be stopped. The more angry he gets, the stronger he gets. But the one thing that subdues the Hulk is divine femininity. As soon as he encounters divine femininity, he shrinks back into David Banner. He shrinks back into the humble, strong, masculine man, intellectual, powerful, very, very smart, very, very calm, very, very superior in his demeanor, but he's no longer out of control and enraged. Divine femininity subdues him. And I think that that example in that comic book character by Marvel comic book character is a perfect example of how a woman, the Black woman in particular, can subdue and can persuade in a divine way what she feels she needs from her man by being feminine, not by being aggressive, demanding, bickering, arguing, nagging. That right there just puts a man into his aggressive state of defense, and he ends up using his abilities to mentally, physically fight her for dominance that he should not have to fight for. I noticed that when it comes to my students, my female students, the same issues I'm having with them, and they're having a problem with the paternal, masculine discipline environment that I set in school. I've been talked to by my superiors. I've been complained about by my students to my superiors. I just found out recently that I'm being watched on campus for some complaints on being a disciplinarian in my class. And the and the students, the young female students, not being able to, you know, they're showing resistance and showing a lot of, you know, they're showing a lack of being able to deal with or handle the discipline and the type of a paternal energy that I give in my class as it relates to maintaining my classroom management. So it seems to me that a lot of our young females are also being taught to be less respectful and more resistant to a dominant masculine male setting the rules or laws that and the level of what will and won't be tolerated in terms of their conduct. I was also noticing that it's very difficult to constructively, I would say, not criticize, but constructively add some comments of correction when it comes to women, the modern Black woman, influenced by American society and the legacy of slavery. She cannot be corrected. She cannot be guided. And it's really impacting the family. It's really impacting the relationship between the Black man and woman. And for her not being able to be corrected, which means that her flaws and her lack of perfection, her things that she needs to work on, will never ever be something that she corrects and something that she grows into becoming a better person and a better version of herself. So this is my position, brothers. And it's been a concern of mine as a Black man. And, you know, how do we go about as men giving off and exemplifying the type of attitude, mentality, and spirit to correct our woman and bring her back home to that mindset, that femininity that maintains our household, and that is one of the main glues, along with ourselves, that keeps our community together, our traditional families together, that decreases the divorce rate from 51% back to 30 to 20%, something that it like was non-existent during the most tumultuous of times in our history, during slavery and during Jim Crow segregation. We had a 70 to 80% successful marriage rate. And now, with all the freedoms that this woman has today, we have the highest divorce rate that Black people have ever experienced. You know, we have the highest divorce rate and the least amount of women in the history of Black women in America are being married now. One out of four women will be married in a lifetime. And the majority of women are carrying themselves as if they, you know, will never be married. And they're giving away their access to their vagina to men that they have no intention of marrying. You know, and they're also offering the man the greatest honor as a man by not marrying him. They're giving him children without being married. It's like we have this becoming an all-time high, and that's been a major concern. And I think it's mainly it's really contributed towards the high rate of divorce, lack of positive male-female traditional relationships, and a high rate of abortion as well. Frivolous women that are practicing reproductive practices in a very immature and hypersexual manner means that the product of that, type of activity will also be easily gotten rid of with frivolous reproductive activity practices. This so-called independently free, empowered girl rock, type of mentality has destroyed, is destroying our family and destroying the future of the Black man and female relationship and traditional family. And that's my position, brothers. How do y'all feel about this?
Okay, let me say a few things. Now, if you listen to Brother Neely Fuller, he says that anything that is incorrect in our society, in this system, is partially the fault of us, and especially Black men, but most of the blame goes to the system controller, which is the white supremacist. And I could go with that. And what I do know is that the mental capacity of humans, period, is very fragile and very impressionable. So if you have this loose society that we have, where anything goes, you know, there's not limits. The people who are targeted, which are mainly Black people, to suppress and keep down, so the maintenance of the system of white supremacy racism is in full effect. You have to confuse people. You have to put them in positions where they don't even have to bring the physicality of keeping you in check. They do it mentally.
Definitely.
And I know that this is a very challenging thing, to not have the values of the system that's been having a foot on your neck, you know, for hundreds of years. And so people succumb to being impressionable and weak-minded. And this is why, you know, people like us is doing what we're doing, because we're collaborating together in a intellectual way or a educational way to be better than what we are, and to also be an example of the way people should be. So I think that has
That's right.
a lot to do with why women and men that are of color, especially Black people, are in the position they're in, where you have these poor statistics of families and marriage and all of that. It's most people are confused and out of their mind. And so they just follow the crowd. They go along to get along. So I know that has a lot to do with what is the solution. We could talk about that, but I want the other brothers to talk and kind of bring some light to this subject matter this evening. So what I'm gonna do, I'm gonna go to a brother Ihe first, then the brother Mashinda, Professor Ra, and then Ernest McBride. Okay, brother Ihe.
Can you turn on the share real quick, brother?
You want me to? Oh, you want rights to share?
Yes.
You got it. Okay. You want brother Ihe to wait for you?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I just wanted to put up an image that kind of reflects my mindset.
Okay. Go ahead, brother Ihe.
I think my brother articulated, both of you articulated the problem well. I think everything was covered. Our women, as far as where they are today and where our men are today, with young guys are feminized now from being raised by women, very sensitive, wearing hairstyles like the women used to wear when I was, you know, in the 70s and 80s, the women and the men are wearing the same hairstyles. They're approaching their conversations from where, like, a woman's perspective, and more emotional than logical or factual. As we talk about on this program, perception is trumping fact. Where are we learning this behavior? We're learning this behavior from the media, from our education, private and public institutions, and that seems to really be valued over traditional ways of getting our information, information passed down, skill sets. Even today, as far as the brother was saying, we need to be employing our young people up. As far as doing manual work, our young people not into that. as far as putting in the labor to become our intellectuals and our scholars. It seems that a large portion of our young people, because of life imitating art with the music and the films and stuff, would rather get out and hustle on the street for 4 or 5 years and then spend the next 20 years in jail, rather than go out and get you a skill set in the next 5 or 6 years to propel you through the rest of your life. It seems like our relationships now is like a man versus our women. Our women, are they listening to us and our ideas of how to raise our children? I find that some of these sisters out here will listen to a stranger in the street before listening to their man. I find that some of the men's ideas of dealing with the women, like you say, is they turn into brutes, or to the point where they just ignore them and walk away from the relationship. We're the expectations of us from our women a lot of times are unreasonable. I don't think they learn that in the household. A lot of them don't even have men in the household. So they can't be reasonable. It's all about their perception. So I believe it all starts with our education. We lost control of our educational system. And even to the point, I was listening to a sister just the other day, and she normally cooks while her husband does the homework with her children. This is in Virginia. And in the history book was telling her child and the children in the public school that before the history of people of African descent, they're not sure what the history is. And we're either slaves or we were enslaved or something like that, but they weren't specific. They're purposely lying to our children. So first of all, we have to get in control of what our children are learning, our young people are learning, our adults are learning how to be parents. We have to get in control of that, because we're on a path of self-destruction, like the modern Jimmy Lynch. The media, our educational system, our entertainment, we have to put up our guard against all of it. And we have to get back into defining what is important and what's going to help us grow and develop and eventually get our liberation. But I think you brothers put it well. You covered every corner. How to come out of this. We lay on our scholars to help us do that. But it's got to be, it has to be, first and foremost, we have to get control of our information that's going through our community. So, okay, I thank you for that. But that's my view of what's going on today. We got to stop fighting and battling in our relationships. We have to work. I mean, you know, just in our lifetime, we went from a single parent household being the exception. And I mean, it was very rare, to now it is the norm. So
that's right.
I thank you for this program. Once again, just so relevant and so important to be talked about, evaluated, and inserted in our lifestyles. Okay.
Appreciate it, Brother Ahi. Brother
Michelle. Yes, sir, brother.
Yeah, good evening. Hey, thank you for coming on, Brother Thomas. Good to see you. Well, like, you know, it's a age-old conversation. You know, it's been going on a while. I think we've discussed it before. And it's just a continuation of a real deep issue, a deep problem that and we understand the root of it. You know, there's, you know, definitely everybody clearly pointed out some great things, you know, in terms of, you know, our lack of awareness, lack of knowledge, you know, that's it's a full-on assault that has been in play for many, many years. And what we're reaping is the fallout from something that's been in place for years and years and years, and it's come to this. And technology is playing its role in the divide and conquering of what we've been talking about. You know, our people, you know, it's, you know, used, it's being it's weaponized to, you know, to continue to destroy the infrastructure of the family. You know, coming up, you know, we had, like I said, we had our extended families, you know, in our neighborhoods. If you were in a single parent household, you still had neighbors and folks in your neighborhood that would look out for you, would discipline you. You had strong teachers that would put you in check, you know, or strong teachers that would communicate with your parent or parents if need be. You know, a lot of us didn't want that either, you know. So there was a check and balance system that was in place for many, many years. And so the white supremacy racism that exists, you know, of course, that's the main agenda, is to, you know, to divide and conquer, to, you know, suppress, to oppress, to enslave, you know, that type of thing.
Yes,
So,
sir.
but at the end of the day, it's a battle that I fight every day. You know, you know, I deal with young people and older people. I work in a community college, and my job is to interact with the community that comes through those doors. And the ones that have some glimmer of substance in terms of understanding, you know, that, you know, and I'm just talking about ones that I can communicate with. Now, the ones that's totally not, you know, null and void in terms of their understanding, you know, you know, I call myself, you know, looking out for the underdog, the one that might not understand, you know. So I have many conversations and teachings and trying to, you know, just what we're talking about here is try to put them on point, because it's kind of like setting it in motion, you know. They're, you know, provoking this thought and discussion, and then trying to set something in motion to where they can continue to empower their minds, to ascend, you know, their mindset to another level. And it's a tough job, you know. It's like digging up, trying to, like, it's like digging up gold, you know. Gold is hard to find, and you know, it's a task. And some of us, and a lot of us, you know, we grow older and we get tired, and, you know, but we're gonna continue to struggle. But at the end of the day, we're in competition with technology. Social media is part of that technology.
That's right.
Competing to develop mindsets, or redirect minds, or to actually capture minds. The young children at the, you know, at very young ages are on the internet. They're on TikTok. They're on these different platforms to where they're under siege. Their minds are under siege. And so it that's a whoa, it's a tough competition. And you know, my information, you know, what I know about artificial intelligence, you haven't seen anything yet. It's about to exponentially go to another level, whether we like it or not. You know, the artificial intelligence has, it's like anything else. You know, you know, just like the internet. It could be positive and it could be weaponized. It could be negative. It's like a hammer. You could take a hammer and build a house, you know, or you could hit somebody in the head with it, you know,
Right.
depending on what you want to do with that particular tool. So that's all it is a tool. But unfortunately, the divide is growing. And but you know, it's like trying to put two magnets together, you know. Sometimes you can't reach, you know, it's so deep that some of them can't be reached, you know. Maybe somebody can reach them, but it's almost kind of like it's getting late in the game to where with this technology and things that's happening, I don't know if we can ever catch up. So we have to, you know, it's almost like salvaging what we have, you know, or trying to, it's kind of like a search and rescue team where they call off the search, you know, you just kind of like trying to recover bodies, you know, yeah. So, but anyway, I don't have a dim outlook. You know, my cup is, I always say, you know, my cup is half full, but the reality of it is people like you, Brother Thomas, continue doing what you're doing, and you're going to meet resistance. You're in part of the community. You know, your clientele is part of the community, and it's your due, you know, your duty to do due diligence and try to do it as, you know, try to do it within the protocol and the policies that you're working with. That's the problem, you know. So now they want to watch you, or they, you know, they might try to set you up, those types of things. I've been confronted with that from time to time where, you know, I have to be careful on my job, my livelihood, that type of thing. But anyway, keep going. I appreciate all the brothers that spoke tonight. You know, you got some great information, and let's keep this thing going.
Yes, sir.
All right, Brother Machina, thank you. All right, Professor Rye.
Appreciate what's been said, if I understand correctly. I just have a couple of questions and then for clarification. When you say divine femininity, what do you mean?
I mean, when women function according to the second self of God, being the fact that she is the co-creator, she is the nurturer, she is the comforter, she's the vessel that not only brings forth life, but her biological structure was created to feed the life that she brought into the world. You know, her mammary glands, now they're being used to, you know, for several reasons, to entice, to elicit hypersexuality, to as a tool of carnal desire and attraction. But it's really a gland used to feed the child, to nurture the child. And in doing so, she's created to feed and nurture the family. The kitchen is her hospital. It's the infirmary. What she makes in the kitchen heals and prolongs and maintains the life of the family. She's been given the power to, in her divine femininity, of being agreeable, being supportive, being submissive, being comforting, being compliant.
So you think
she prolongs the life of her husband. A man's life is prolonged by her divine, and a woman that exists in her divine femininity of being comforting, taking down his blood pressure, giving him peace, giving him harmony, empowering him to go out into the world and deal with the many obstacles the black man knows and the black man has to deal with in the real world. Divine femininity, she's agreeable, submissive, comforting. She's a healer. She's a counselor.
Yeah, I understand that. I understand, but my question is, so this is from a religious perspective.
Nah, this is from a divinely, a natural perspective.
When you say divine, that's not religion?
No, not. It can, what I'm saying is a woman is in her natural state of being man's complement, of being his helpmeet, of being
okay, let me ask you this.
That's what I mean. It's
but you've always had dominant women throughout history. But no, let me just go.
We haven't always had dominant
women. That's not true, brother. That's not true.
Like, what do you mean in America?
I'm everywhere. There's been dominant
And
women, but
what do you mean by dominant, brother?
I'm strong women that can do for themselves.
Strong and dominant is two different things.
No, it's not. Strong and dominant.
Because man is dominant. Woman is always
women,
strong.
Women, brother.
Dominant is dominate.
Okay, well, let me go to my
That's
next
a male
question.
Quality. That's a
okay,
masculine.
Okay. The other question is, when you say her superpower is her of masculinity is her kryptonite, what do you mean?
I mean, a woman who is in her feminine natural state, her power to subdue a man when he's angry and enraged, like upset because maybe he felt attacked. Maybe he felt somebody was trying to hurt his loved one. Maybe he felt somebody was disrespecting him. In her divine femininity, she can calm him down back into being compliant, being just agreeable, being, you know, outside of, she could reduce that angry rage, natural protective man into being a calm individual that can now know, you know, now can listen and without functioning on that hardcore level of defense and of protection.
Okay,
that's
I see
what I mean.
But when you say it's kryptonite, what do you mean?
What I mean is when she functions as a man, it causes tension in her body, in her mind, in her spirit. When a woman is forced to function on the level of a man, it increases her bodily stress. And that stress can cause not only mental and spiritual instability, but it can also cause physical dis-ease. When women suffer from heart disease more often than they have in the past, due to the fact that they are, you know, running a household, working, doing all the things that her partner would do and allow her to be able to fulfill that role that is not so stressed outside of the home, having to defend for herself, having to go work and bring resources into the home and protect her family as if she's a man, that causes our women to suffer biologically from disease and from heartache and from cancers.
I got that, but I've not seen no studies that say that. But let me just move on. Let me move on to another question. You were saying that you were being watched because you're a disciplinarian, and that you feel that the women in the class were problematic. Were there any men in the class, young men in the class, that were problematic?
Well, yeah, I do. I mean, I have both male and female in my class, and I deal with them, you know, similarly in terms of my discipline and my rules and regulations. But
give me an example of your rules and regulations.
Well, when they come to class, you know, they're not allowed to use their phones in my class. And mm-hmm. and prior to me getting this one wall phone holding device that where students, when they come in my class, they put their phones there. I had a strict no cell phone policy, and I had a cell phone parking lot where whenever I saw students with their cell phones, I would have them put their cell phones in the parking lot. And I had a lot of pushback from students trying to sneak their cell phones in the class and things of that nature. But when I confiscated their cell phones, when I confiscated their cell phone and told them that I was going to send it to the office, or I kept it for, you know, so I could give it to the administrators and everything, they began to, that began to have an issue with them. Some of them would snatch the cell phone. Someone would try to, you know, would not give me their cell phone to confiscate and put into the cell phone parking lot. And I'd have to, you know, take them outside, and then I'd have to call the security officer guard and have him removed from my classroom. So my strict cell phone policy and the pushback I get from them and the reprimand me you know, putting them on Front Street, like, hey, you know, you got to do the cell phone. If not, you got to leave my class, you know, step outside real quick. Let's talk about it. You're not going to be in my classroom. If you're not going to abide by my rules, everybody have to abide by the cell phone policy. I only get an hour and a half with you a day, and I need you to abide by my policy because I need to take it. You're compromising your
and that's education. Male and female.
They have both male and female, but the both male and female.
All right, now my other question is this. You know, I don't. All groups of people have male female relationship problems. All of them, and times have changed. If you look at the different eras, relationships were based on the conditions of those eras, and that's why you had more. Two-family households, one man working, because it used to be at one time, you're not a man if you can't take care of your family. And women were staying home, washing, cooking, and cleaning.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Assalamu alaikum. Ramadan Mubarak. Ramadan Kareem. We thank Allah for his many blessings.
Hold on, let me
we thank
this. Him. Let me get this.
For his many gifts, we thank him.
All right, my bad. That was my.
That was the minister. I know. Yes. Let me just go back. Like I said, different eras. In you know, back in the '20s, thirties, and forties, you know, it was mostly labor men and. Things weren't as automated and technological as they are today. And with the women liberation movement, women have gotten more independent and with their skills, going to college, whereas at one time, you know, women didn't go to college as much because they were at home. Second, you had birth control now. Whereas when in the 30s, 40s, they didn't have the birth control. So you have big families, and a lot of reasons they have big families. But I never had a problem with women throughout my history. I've always had positive relationships, platonic and intimate. It's always cool, you understand? But I see that there are some women that have chosen to go into a different sexual orientation. That's their right. I mean, you know, I'm not promoting it, but if they want to be gay, that's their business. Second, if they want to be independent and have a child and say, I'll take care of it, I don't need no man, that's their business. I don't see that with all women. You understand? I see a lot of women are looking for a man, looking to be married, looking to get old with a person. Some women want to get married, don't have no kids. Some want to adopt kids. Some want to do this. There's too many variables in there. My point to you is that I think Minister Farrakhan said one time, you show me a no good woman, and I'll tell you this, she was made no good by no good man.
No good man, that's right.
Yeah, right. And so my point to you is that a lot of brothers in my age bracket and older, many of our women were had a sudden hospitality, and you know they didn't mind being a good strong partner, but it was on an equal basis. In other words, because you listen to your woman or you accept her attitudes and her position on issues that may not be the same as yours, that's her right. And we, you know, go ahead, you know. But we ain't gonna fight and argue over that. We ain't gonna let that interfere with our love and our children and our life. There's a lot of, I taught male-female relationship, and I was a marriage counselor. And some people shouldn't be together. And like they say, some black men are lost, and as Haki used to say, they need to stay lost because they're on drugs, they're on alcohol, they're violent, they do different things. Women have learned to be able to cope and adjust to the challenges of finding and developing a wholesome relationship with a male that see them as co-partners, equal. They want the dominant, as you were saying. Many men feel, some of these young people feel that they are women. Then you have the demonization of women through rap music and other concepts of seeing them as itches and H's and all kinds of things, you know, and that has spoiled a lot of young kids, male minds, that women are these things based on the music they've been listening to and the movies they be watching. And I'm just saying that, you know, as you get older, you get wiser, you want someone to get old with you. So you're more prone to do compromising because it's a bigger issue than just male-female relationship. It's about, like what you were saying, being comfortable and having peace in your home. And it begins not only with the woman, but the man has to be peaceful too. I mean, the woman could be peaceful and the man could be a violent, drinking, an alcoholic or something like that. And you can't blame a woman for having standards or looking for a man that she feels that she can live the rest of her life with. And you can't blame a man for looking for a woman that he can live the rest of his life with. There are divorces in every group, high rates of divorces.
Yes, sir.
There are many women that won't even be asked to get married. If you have daughters, the last thing you want is your daughter to come home with D-Dog, Wild Dog, C-Dog, and Puppy Dog, and tattoos all over him, and earrings all in his nose, and tattoo on his forehead. That's the last thing you want your daughter to come home with. So you try to teach them ethics and morals and standards, and many of them looking for the qualities that's in their father.
Yes,
and,
sir.
And they're not going to find them because these youngsters are in a different era, different time, different music, different culture. So it's a cultural thing.
Yes, sir.
I believe that, you know, education is not what they're learning at school or in society. Education is at the home.
That's right.
And if you got a strong woman that's teaching her daughters and men to be very meticulous about who they shack up with, who they have sex with, and who they develop relationship with, that's a good thing. But at the same time, if you just let them just go, and it's just like not knowing where your kids is.
That's right.
Or knowing what they're doing. When you're supervising and managing a family, it's required that everybody know where each other is and that it's a partnership, it's a team. So I see a lot of men with problems with women, but many of them have problems themselves.
That's right.
Because they want a woman to be what they want them to be, rather than accepting a woman for who she is. That's why they call it courting, because you're holding trial on each other. I tell my daughter and all of them, I said, it takes at least 5 to 6 years, and I didn't push it up to 7 to get to know somebody. You know their health record, know their financial, how they handle money, how they deal with stress, what their habits are, and how much time they put in with you. It takes 6 years. Some people just say, "Hey, I'm ready to get married after 6 months." You know, I'm ready to live with this person in 6 months. I want to just get out the house. But the struggle is that the more you as a person develop communication skills and ethics and morals yourself, you know, the better you are. Like the comedian said, there ain't no man shortage. She said, you can go downtown, you see men laying all around. You know, you can pick one up, you know, and straighten them up, clean them up, and take him home, you know. But the issue is that I think it's just as much problems in relationships. It's 50-50. Women have issues and men have issues. The reason I've been married 43 years, going on 44, because I want to be. And the reason my wife is with me, because she wants to be. And if you want to be with each other, you're going to be together. You think of reasons why to stay together. But when you get angry and you're looking for a reason to leave, I've seen cats get divorced because their wife wouldn't let them watch the Super Bowl. Turn the TV and wanted to watch something else. I've seen cats get mad because the food was cold. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's on them, you know. But like I said, throughout my life, and I abused a lot of women coming up. I mean, as far as lying to them and taking advantage of them, you know, taking their money and you know, living off of them. I mean, you know, but I don't do that no more, and I wish I never had. There's some dudes that think they can screw every woman in the world.
That's right.
You understand? But hey, I'm satisfied with one now. You understand? Because I'm older, I'm less physical, and I'm less healthy. And I don't chase. I don't, you know, I chase. You know, but there are some cats in their 80s but with gray Jerry curls. You understand? Driving around high schools. I mean, what am I supposed to do? You know, they look to be somebody's sugar daddy.
That's right.
But anyway, that's my point. My point is that there's problems on both sides.
Yes, sir.
But at the same time, there are successful relationships even today. Even young people that find each other through their churches, their mosques, their synagogues, or their temples, or just in their going to college together, and they stay together and build a life together. I've seen it. I've seen it as a professor, Brother Akili Muhammad in Oakland,
yes, sir.
Minister Akili. He'd been married for years with the same woman. He met her in college. You understand? Brother, other brothers, Brother David Mead, he met his wife in college. And, you know, and she was Catholic. I went to their wedding. I was the best man. He went to the Catholic. He ain't religious at all. But he acquiesced to her Catholicism. And he had a Catholic wedding. I had an African wedding, a black wedding. You understand? Dr. Karanga married me, and it wasn't no Thorn Rice. It wasn't no dun, 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 dun. No. We played the music we wanted. You know, I dedicated Special Lady to her. She walked in on Special Lady, and I walked in My Man. You understand? And that's how we did it. And you know, we made our own vows. We made our own vow.
That's right.
You understand? But there's some people who ain't been to church want to get married in church. You understand? I mean, you know, like people go have funerals and want to have a church funeral and ain't baptized, ain't never been to church. ain't never even picked up a Bible, but
right.
You know, they have it in church or mosque or whatever. But anyway, your points are good from many of the perspective, but it's not pertaining to every woman or all black people.
No, not at all. Not at all. I would never broaden my brush to put an all in that. But I am particular about different other groups and how their women's respond to them. It's like I noticed that a lot of women, you know, the Arab woman is loyal to her man. Chinese woman, loyal to her man. Even the Caucasian woman, loyal to her man. When it comes to our women, the modern, that's what I put an adjective before, the modern black woman. Modern black woman that was used by the feminist movement for numbers so that the white woman can get the rights that she was being denied by her man at the expense of the black woman who never really had that kind of problem with her man. In many cases, like what Baba Ross said back in the day, the black woman was ruling the household. She was the matriarch of the family. And we men, you know, recognized her for that, and we defended that, her being the matriarch. You know, she didn't have, you know, the household of a dominant man that was totally controlling a woman into subservience and equities and equality was not the norm in our household. That's why we have the term matriarch in our family in the first place. So I'm talking about the modern woman who's been a product of the welfare system, of accepting a check from a no good man called the Caucasian white man, the government, the man who runs the government. That's the no good man that made our woman in many cases respond in a way that was a detriment to our household, a detriment to our conventional and traditional relationships. The no good man that has tampered with our woman is the no good Caucasian man and his government and his systems to break up the Black family and to compromise the integrity of the Black male-female relationship, to give her a check and to put her in a position to choose a check besides choosing a hardworking man in the household, making a mandate that to get a welfare check, the man had to leave the household. A man who had children.
But my brother, yeah, a long time ago, your point was well taken. When the women were on welfare, all women that was on welfare, and it was always more white women on welfare than Black, the man couldn't be in the house. But they changed all that. You understand? They called it general relief. Men are on welfare.
What's the replacement,
men,
though?
No. My point is that men get general relief. You understand? They can get on the county and get health care just like women, single women. And my point to you is that, you know, a long time ago, you were correct. They had rules governing the distribution of it was called Mother's Day. Mother's Day was the 1st and the 15th. At first, it was just the 1st, and now it's the 1st and 15th. And then they had food stamps, and people used to line up like clowns to get the stamps and all that type of stuff. But times have changed. They send everything through the banks. They send you cards. And you don't know who's on welfare and who's not. You can go in white neighborhoods, and their county building look just like an office building. You go to ours, there are people lined up on the outside waiting to get in because most of the people in our area are poor, or, you know, are welfare, and many of them are Latino. The point is, man, you know, yeah, women gets welfare. Some women have more kids so they can get more money. Yeah. I see that by different daddies. They have that. But that's on their burden. If you're having kids just to get more money, you understand? That's a whole new different thing. But you don't care who the daddy is, you know.
Let's just discuss how the welfare system evolved into 2025. Okay, so in the 70s, the 80s, 90s, we had welfare. And the mothers were raising the children, males and females. The males were coddled. The females were told to go to college and get a job and be independent. Because that spirit of so-called independence that the mother was experiencing by having that check and taking care of the children, that was passed down to the daughter. And now we have a daughter that goes prioritizes her college and her career more than it is to build a traditional family. We have, and a lot of our women, what, 35, 40, 50, 60 years old, never had children, never had a family because they value their career more than family. That has never been heard of as in the Black family. A woman did not value her college degree and career over being married and creating a family with her children. That's the highest level of pro-Black commitment that a man and woman could have, is being married, rearing children, creating a community, filling it with positive future citizens and children to evolve our group into the next generation and generations afterwards. That is the product of welfare. Yes, sir. Baba Ra, things have changed, but welfare has evolved into an independent career college seeking Black woman who's willing to put all of the traditional things that kept our community surviving: slavery, Jim Crow segregation, lynching, and all the other atrocities that we've experienced in America. The Black family was the weapon. to put all that on hold, on even not only on hold, but never even want to pursue that or have that anymore, to pursue a career working for a Caucasian corporation, bowing and shuffling and running and beckoning, calling the need of him at the expense of our Black family, community, children, and the very, very fabric that of our of the successes of our being able to defy the most horrendous treatment during, post, during, before, I mean, during slavery, during the post-slavery and beyond. So nah, bro, that's how welfare has evolved. It's evolved in the males being coddled. They're told, you know, they're buying Nikes, all $300-$400 pair of shoes. The males are coddled. The females are told and taught to be, go to college, get a career, and be independent. That's a product of the welfare system.
Brother Thomas, I want to be able to get Ernest McBride in, because I want to see how he would respond to what was said in the beginning. And then we can come back to the points you were making. Okay.
I'm kind of like a little bit in the dark on this, because like I was raised in the family with my dad, where he was the breadwinner. He worked, my mom took care of the kids, and it was like six of us. So she took care of the house, so I never heard them argue about anything. And everybody got along well, and then they were married for like 60 years till she passed away in 1994. Praise, and they got married in 1934.
Praise
be. So he kind of taught me that that's what you do. You take a wife, you man, you should provide for your wife. So I did. My wife and I, we met in like 1958, and we got met, we dated, you know, until 1963 when I got out of the Army, and then we got married, and then we've been married 62 years now, and we never had no problems. It's an equal relationship. Everything's in both our names. All the money's in both our names. She don't spend anything till she check with me, and I'm the same with her, because we talk about everything. So we never had no arguments with our kids, and then that relationship that we've had has filtered down to my daughters, because both of them, one of them's married to an attorney, lives in Grenoble, France, and they've been married over about 25 years, I think, this year, or 24. And then my oldest daughter lives in Ladera Heights. She's married to a film editor.
Wow.
And they have been married 26 years this year. And in each of them, my daughter in a France, she's got two sons. They're like, one of them's 20, no, 19 and 16. One of them's high school over there. He's getting ready to go to college. And then the youngest one just entered high school. And then my daughter here in Ladera got a daughter, my granddaughter. She's 21, February the 4th was her birthday. And then her brother, he's at San Francisco, University of San Francisco, his first year up there. And then my granddaughter's going to Cal State Long Beach. She did a year like at Hampton and couldn't deal with it, you know, being a lonely female there. So she's going to be in Long Beach State come August.
That's right.
Been accepted on a Dean's List scholarship, so she'll be going there. And then and that's kind of what my dad had taught me. We, to avoid confusion, you kind of talk things out. And we've never really had no major problems in our marriage. The only problem I got now is my wife's ill, and I'm her caregiver, because she's got dementia a couple of years. So I'm her full-time caregiver, and I'm not putting in a home or none of that, because she's right. gonna be here with me.
That's right.
You know, till the end. So, and so like when I hear you saying that, it's kind of foreign to me. But then I kind of agree with you, because I work campus security for Long Beach Unified School District for yes, high sir. Schools, and them kids and them cell phones, that is a problem. Because as a minute kid, I come down, I'm roving the campus, he's standing out talking on the phone. I said, man, why aren't you in class? Well, I take the phone from him, you know, so we've had some scuffles there, you know, because you're supposed to be in there.
That's right.
Studying, you know, you talk during recess, and if you need to come out an emergency, you check with the teacher before you come out here like you own the joint, you know. So then my daughter, we had some kid even brought a gun to school, but it wasn't workable, you know, and he dropped it, so he got in trouble, kicked him out. So there, you gotta problem if you're doing high school, you know. And then my youngest daughter now, she just started teaching over there in university in Grenoble. So she's teaching master's degree students, you know, most of them's French, and they got to do English as a second language. So that's what they hired her for. And then she's teaching them, you know, like English and then like finances and stuff. And she's even having a problem with them kids, see, because wow. they don't half listen, you know, really? The French kids. So they, you know, it's like Dr. Ross says, like that all over. These kids yeah. with this new technology, boy, it's out of hand. And when AI really kick in, it's no telling what we're going to be facing, you know.
Exactly.
So I kind of listened to you and I said, wow, is that really going on? Because I've been retired like for like 26 years now, you know.
Yes, sir.
So I'm not really out in it. That's why I'm attending like seminars like this, so I can try to figure out what's going on out there, you know, with the young kids.
Yes, sir, Brother Ernest.
So it's a problem, but I guess it's just something we have to learn. Things change over the years in my life. I'm 87 now, so I've seen things do all kind of changes, you know.
Yes,
and about the only little hand I got in the community now is we got a female track coach, Coach Crystal Irvin, that even ran with me because I helped coach her in the 80, you know, in 80. Yes, 80, she went 85, 86, and 87, you know, and 88 at the high school. And she's now the coach over there and very successful. So I kind of help her out, keeping track of the kids' times and stuff, and take it every year the banquet. I run over there and give them copies, you know. So this year she said, well, Mr. McBride, you probably won't need to do that because die status kind of taking over that function over on all the high schools. And I was keeping the top five times, you know, history of the school since 1895 up to last year.
Yes, sir.
And kept the top five in each event, you know, in track and field. And then now Dostas doing the top 20. You know, in all the schools. So I give up on that. So I just go over every day now and then and talk with them, see how they're doing, you know. So that's my only kind of connection. And then we formed another group. I'm still in the NAACP, a lifetime member, and I still attend that. And then I'm kind of, and this is my oldest daughter, because she's a nurse. She said, you taking care, you can't. You need some socialization, so you got to get out. So she's the one made me start attending NAACP meetings, and then going to the, we formed the African Cultural District. They still haven't finalized the name, but they meet like once a month, and then kind of checking the community and seeing what needs to be done and how we can help people, you know. So that's kind of my thing. So I see this is kind of a sponge for me absorbing stuff, but you know, I haven't seen it. And my dad and them taught me, hey, you get educated, because that's something never can be taken away from, because he was a civil rights fighter.
Yes, sir.
All his life. And you learn that. Him and my mom always harped that on that. So we went on to college, and then my wife, she was a LVN, you know, when I married her. And then, so she put that on my daughter, made her take RN thing at Long Beach City, and they went and got her nursing license, and she's been doing that for over 20 years. So that's a big help for me right now in dealing with my wife, because I got advice firsthand, and she comes down every maybe 2 or 3 days a week, and my granddaughter helps me out, you know, that gives me relief. So, and so all that, so what my dad and mom taught me, I kind of put it in our daughters, and they learn, and now hopefully they'll put it into the grandkids, you know.
And that's traditionally how it's supposed to be, you know, but we know that we have a lot more single parent households, and we know that to statistics show that a single parent household, when you raise males, they a lot of that increases the chances for males being incarcerated,
right,
in high school, gang violence, things of that nature. And they say, according to statistics, when a male's in the home, it's almost like two parents are in the home. The male is able to maintain the discipline and the and rear the children in a way to respect authority, to the point where it's as if both parents were in the home, because the father maintains the discipline, maintains the law, maintains the respect for authority, respect for others. So, you know, when I hear what you're saying, that's what I'm, that's my position about the modern Black woman.
Yeah.
They're not in pursuit of the family. They're not committed to the greatest commitment of pro-Black community consciousness, and thing that you can benefit the Black people in general is the development of a Black family with a Black man rearing Black children, so they can become future Black, successful Black citizens and contributors to and maintainers of our community, of our people, of our group. That's been my position. And welfare has evolved into the independent-minded modern Black woman that would put college and career before her divine role as a mother, wife, and a maintainer of the household.
But I just want to say that if the school don't have a policy saying no cell phone, that's a problem. If the household don't train their kids that when you go to school, do not use your phone in the classroom. If the household, when I say household, I mean foster parent.
Yes, sir.
I mean single parent.
Mm-hmm.
I've been a teacher. I taught all levels. You know, you have to prepare your kids mentally and spiritually to go to school. That school is a business. You're going to get something out of it, and you're not to take something there and try to turn it into your school. You understand? And so the primary education and disciplinary unit is the parents or the house, the home. But many kids are in foster homes, and you got bad foster parents that don't, that just there for the money. There's no standards, no requirement that their kids all graduate from high school, and are you going to lose your foster parent status? And once they turn 18, they turn them loose. And all they wanted was their money. They don't even know where the kids are all day, as long as they get in by dark or by 10 o'clock. And it's sad. You know, there are a lot of factors why some women do not hold up their part. There's a lot of factors besides that includes racism, drug addiction, poverty, homelessness. I mean, there's a lot of factors that go into why some certain men and women are not meeting their responsibilities as parents. You have absentee daddies that won't even go see their kids. You got won't only come around on birthdays and holidays. Never deal with the day-to-day struggle.
That's right.
You understand? I mean, it's I know too many single women that raise successful kids by themselves, without the man in the house, and their kids are A students, outstanding athletes. And you see a lot of these cats in pro ball. You know, the mama's there, and they always give credit to the mama being by their side, being strong. And some have fathers and things of this nature. But, you know, the issue is beyond just women being not being feminine enough and not being the household woman that some men want. They want a woman that's just submissive and just cook, shut up, and have sex with, and just go sit over in the corner. And then there are women that say, hey, look, times have changed. I got an opinion. I can think. You understand? I mean, we learned this from white men who, that's why they didn't let women vote until the 20s, because they were afraid they'd pass laws that would restrict their behavior. You understand? And it's the same thing with men. You know, they don't want a woman to tell them what to do. But if you're doing something bad, why shouldn't she not tell you? If she tell you to get off dope, so you're gonna beat her up because she told you need to quit smoking your weed in the house, or snorting your cocaine in front of the kids, or leaving your crack pipe out, or having all your friends over drinking and playing dominoes all loud and cussing and screaming in front of the kids. And she said, you know, I mean, there are a lot of issues, and each household is different, brother. You know that, Thomas, because you deal with different kids all the time, and their structures are different. A lot of people come from cultural, they came here voluntarily. They didn't go through the years of oppression that we have. They came here to be white, to be American. You understand? When America say we're gonna make America great again, they don't mean you. You know, they don't mean black people. They don't mean Latino. They mean white people and white men, particularly. As you said, Thomas, so eloquently, the white woman supports that. Many of them do. You understand? Sir. Some don't, but many of them do. And they'll fall right in line, like they did during slavery, and that they did during Reconstruction, and that they did during Jim Crow, and that they did do a manumission, and then act like their hands are clean, because yes, they don't stand up for what's right. You understand? And the word pope means papa. Ain't no woman ever going to be the head of the Catholic Church, because it means papa. You understand? And so they don't even have women close to being a pope. You understand? And then they talk about stuff that they love God. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's a different struggle, brother. Different struggle.
Yes, sir, big brother. And I thank you for your words, brother. But you know, it's an epidemic. A lot of our parents were children when they had their children, and a lot of the habits that they have allowed there, a lot of the things that the children are missing is a product of the fact that they were raised by children. The cell phone, the only time I've seen parents sometimes is when I have confiscated a cell phone. They wouldn't come to school when I called about their grade or called about their attendance, but they came to school for that cell phone. So you know, we do have an epidemic in our community, brother. And it's like children raised. Remember, we had children raising children back in the days when we were coming up. You know, teen children were so rare. They used to ship the girls to the South to have the child come back and be raised with their child as a brother or sister. So you know, we used to really create an environment where that was looked shunned upon, but now it's celebrated. And the product of that is, like, we, you know, our children are missing the fundamentals of rearing. They're being maintained. They're being fed. They're not being reared. Rearing,
fast food's everywhere, man.
Two different things. Rearing is where you guide a child towards being a positive citizen, respecter of authority, respecter of adults, respecter of a household. When you rear a child and guide them toward the path of becoming a righteous, obedient, contributing citizen in our society. But maintaining a child, shoot, dogs can be maintained. We maintain our children no different than we maintain our dog. We feed them, put them in the backyard, walk them on occasion. So, you know, this is my position, has been the direction that our family, and I'm not totally blaming the Black woman, because, you know, I did open up and tell you, I understand that. No, the no good woman has been made no good by no good man, but that no good man is no good Caucasian man, and the Black man is emulating that Caucasian man. We're being as sexist and chauvinistic, and we're being as discriminatory, and we're being as domineering, and to our women as this Caucasian is and always has been to his woman. So yes, sir. I feel you, brother, and I concur, and I thank y'all for this opportunity to talk.
You know, I was at your wedding. You know, I was at
your wedding. You were not just at my wedding, brother. You officiate my wedding. Don't just say you was at my. You was not in the audience. What are you talking about?
Yeah, me and Colin. I remember, brother. You had to promise that you could take care of him for 5 years or something. You had to prove you had the finances to take care of him for 5 years, and you know, yes. And he asked you throughout the vow. You
yes,
sure
sir.
You want to do this?
You yes, sure bro. You want to do this?
Yeah. Oh yeah, bro. I'll yeah,
come on, bro. And look, we didn't have no. Here comes the bride. Now, did we have that?
What no,
we
no, wrong? No. You had a Muslim marriage.
That's yes, sir.
Now, you said Khalid Muhammad was there.
Khalid is the one that married him.
No, it was brother Tony, brother Minister Malik Abdul Malik Saeed Muhammad Tony, the regional minister.
That
was Khalid that married you.
No, sir. It was Brother Minister Tony.
You sure?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Okay.
And you spoke. He helped officiate the wedding, bro. He,
okay.
He helped
okay.
to bless my wedding, brother.
Okay.
Bobby Rob was right there, man, with his suit and bow tie on.
Yeah. Yeah. I was training a lot of Muslim brothers.
Oh, man. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. Praise be to Allah. That was a 20-year marriage, too.
Yeah.
Yo, fam, I am, you know, I'm getting to the point where I'm on Ramadan right now, and we are about to break the fast. So,
All right.
Anyone that has any questions, comments, would like to speak on what was talked about tonight, I love this. This is beautiful. And Baba Ra, man, you are still fashioning me into being the best version of myself.
You must be kind.
I thank you for everything that you are and have done. Professor Ra, you have been more than my professor.
You must be kind.
You've been you're up there with the most honorable Elijah Muhammad in terms of the guidance and the fashioning me into becoming a worthy and obedient and a professional and a strong-willed man, you know, leader, striving to be a leader amongst my people.
Oh yeah, I mean, I appreciate you taking charge of your classroom. That's important. You got to run your classroom. You got to run it. Exactly. You can't let the students run it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
So, all right. Next.
So I appreciate you coming this evening, Brother Thomas. Wish you was here more, but I understand. I understand.
You know what? No, yo, man. Anytime, you know, I got this.
You're a regular. You're part of the team. You already know.
Definitely. Thank you, bro.
All right. Appreciate it. Appreciate everybody coming this evening. Professor Ra, who do we have next week?
We have Ernest McBride. We're going to celebrate or recognize his father for his civil rights work in Long Beach, and not just Long Beach. All the people he influenced.
Wow.
Abroad, you know, because I was a part of that.
Yes, sir.
And it was a beautiful thing going in his back house and gambling with the brothers. You know, we play cards in back in the McBride house, you know, poker and all of that. Those were the days. But it was beautiful because it wasn't no shooting, drink, you know, bad. Nobody ever got out of hand. It was always a good thing.
Yes,
you
sir.
You said it was. All right, I'm not going to elaborate. Okay, so next Wednesday, we got Dr. Inky coming back. And it's the topic is bone regeneration. So hopefully we'll get some information that will help us regenerate some of our healing bones. So I appreciate everybody being here.
All right.
If you want to teach one in Conscious Corner, everybody continue to have a good rest of the evening.
All right, then.
All right.
Yeah. God, not. All right.